Made in America marijuana is on a roll. Last month, voters in Oregon, Alaska, and the District of Columbia approved the recreational use of marijuana. More than half of states now allow pot for fun or medical purposes. One argument made by the pro-legalization camp is that buying domestic marijuana undercuts Mexican cartel marijuana. And increasingly, that appears to be the case. NPR's John Burnett traveled to the Golden Triangle, Mexico's marijuana heartland, and reports that U.S.-grown marijuana is hurting traditional growers.
The black SUV bounces along a rocky road in rural Sinaloa State. We're about a half hour outside the capital of Culiacan. And really, what else are you going to sing on your way to a Mexican marijuana farm than a narco corrido? Soon we cross a river where yellow butterflies alight on the mud and vines festoon the gallery forest. In a few more minutes, we're hiking up a sloping field planted with edible nopal cactus. When the path disappears, we bushwhack down the other side through thick vegetation.
We're going down a pretty steep incline here.
After 10 more minutes, we step into a clearing, and there they are. Hundreds of knee-high marijuana plants, their serrated leaves quivering in a warm Pacific breeze.
Well, here we are. It smells a little skunky.
The 24-year-old grower, Nabor, declines to give his surname because this is illegal. He wears flip-flops, jeans, and a torn pullover shirt, and he has a wide, amiable face, but he doesn't have a lot of good news these days.
El kilo hace como unos dos, tres años atrás.
Two or three years ago, a kilogram of marijuana was worth $60 to $90, he says. But now they're paying us $30, $40 a kilo. It's a big difference. If the U.S. continues to legalize pot, they'll run us into the ground. Nabor kneels and proudly shows me the resinous buds on his short, stocky plants. This strain of marijuana is called Chronic. It's a favorite among growers for its easy cultivation, fast flowering, and mood-lifting high. Nabor says he's grown cannabis since he was 14.
Mensual vienen dando 2,000 pesos. Pero ya pagar 2,000 pesos tiene que cosechar.
My boss pays me $150 a month, but I have to plant it exactly the way he wants, Nabor says. He provides the water pump, the gasoline, irrigation hoses, fertilizer, everything.
Los galones, todo eso, ¿no?
There's an image of Mexican traffickers with their shiny pickups, fancy boots, and lots of girlfriends. But Nabor says most marijuana growers for the Sinaloa cartel are just campesinos like him. He drives a motorcycle and supports a wife and two kids. He says he grows pot to supplement his other income, collecting firewood and raising cactus. He says everybody plants a little marijuana here in La Sierra. This is dangerous work to cultivate it and to sell it, he says. If the army comes, you have to run or they'll grab you. Look here, we're getting $40 a kilo. The day we get $20 a kilo, it'll get to the point where we just won't plant marijuana anymore. The slumping economics of Mexican marijuana was not unexpected. 2 years ago, the Mexican Institute of Competitiveness, in a study entitled If Our Neighbors Legalize, predicted the drug cartels would see their cannabis profits plummet 22% to 30% if the United States continued to decriminalize marijuana. Remember, at one time, virtually all the weed smoked in the states, from Acapulco Gold to Colombian Red, came from south of the border. Not anymore. Lieutenant David Soka works in the narcotics section of the Austin Police Department, in a town that enjoys a good buzz.
We're still seeing marijuana, but it's almost all the homegrown stuff here from the States, you know, from Canada, all that stuff. It's just not the compressed marijuana from Mexico that we see.
My name is Daniel Vinkovetsky, and I'm the senior cultivation editor of High Times magazine. American pot smokers prefer American domestically grown marijuana to Mexican grown marijuana. We've seen a ton of evidence of this in the last decade or so.
U.S.-grown marijuana, some of it cultivated in high-tech greenhouses, is three or four times more expensive than Mexican marijuana. Vinkovetsky says prices for Mexican weed continue to slide because it's so much weaker. He says American cannabis typically has 10 to 20% THC, the ingredient that makes a person high, whereas the THC content of so-called Mexican brick weed is typically 3 to 8%.
Mexican marijuana is considered to be of poor quality, generally because it's grown in bulk outdoors. It's typically dried but not really cured, which is something we do here in the U.S. With connoisseur quality cannabis. And it's also bricked up, meaning that it's compressed for sale and packaging and in order to get it over the border efficiently.
In order to service the U.S. market, police agencies report that some Mexican crime groups grow marijuana in public lands in the West. And there's a new intriguing development. DEA spokesman Lawrence Payne tells NPR that Sinaloa operatives in the United States are reportedly buying high-potency American marijuana in Colorado and smuggling it back into Mexico for sale to high-paying customers. It makes sense, Payne says. We know the cartels are already smuggling cash into Mexico. If you can buy some really high-quality weed here, why not smuggle it south, too, and sell it at a premium? The big question is whether the loss of market share is actually hurting the violent Mexican drug mafias.
Creo que el cartel de Sinaloa ha demostrado en muchas coyunturas la capacidad de adaptarse.
The Sinaloa cartel has demonstrated in many instances that it can adapt. I think it's in a process of redefinition toward marijuana. Javier Valdez is a respected journalist and author who writes books on the narco culture in Sinaloa. Valdez says he's heard through the grapevine that marijuana planting has dropped 30% in La Sierra of Sinaloa. But he says the Sinaloa cartel is old school. They stick to drugs, even as other cartels, such as the vicious Zetas of Tamaulipas State, have branched out into kidnapping and extortion.
Yo creo que ahora, a raíz de, con las modificaciones que tienen que hacerse,
I believe that now, because of the changes they're having to make because of marijuana legalization in the U.S., Valdez continues, the cartel is pushing more cocaine, meth, and heroin. They're diversifying. Back in the hills above Culiacan, Nabor is asked, if prices for marijuana keep declining, what will he do?
Pues mi sueño es agarrar un trabajo.
My dream is to get a good job, a regular job, he answers, where I don't have to do such dangerous work, a job that pays me a living wage. When the interview is over and my recorder is turned off and we're about to drive back to the highway, Nabor quietly says he thinks he's done with marijuana. He's considering planting opium poppies because that's where the market is going. John Burnett, NPR News.